Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
That should give somebody an idea of what is on this show for tonight.
That's great music. Let me think. What is that from, Jim?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe Star Trek?
I love that we're starting to pick this. You're picking this great music to start off each show.
I know,
show.
Huh?
It's so fun.
It is fun. You know, yeah. I give it to Ronan like I gave it to him this morning, and he put that right in there. So, yeah, that was the opening theme from Star Trek, the TV show.
Yes.
Well, you were listening to LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block, and I am your host, Nebo Kirschbaum, the world's famous parachute artist and painter. No, Jim Christina. And in the studio with Bobby Jean Bell and her husband, Jim. And she's just over there grinning from ear to ear because they sold their house.
We did. Yes. We did.
Yes. So, well, let's get into this because we have a very interesting guest in here tonight. The Writer's Block, of course, is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing and Tuscany Bay Books for all you new writers out there and writers that have never done anything with your material. If you're looking to publish or you want a real easy way to get it done and you want something that you can put on your coffee table or in your bookcase or give away to your friends, or that's what most of us do anyway.
Or sell.
That would be a good thing. Your choice should be Black Dog Publishing and our label, Tuscany Bay Books. We've done quite a few books. In fact, we had one of our authors, Richard Polinelli, just had a new book open last Monday. And he gave free ones away until midnight. Or last Thursday, I'm sorry.
That's Thursday.
So give us a call. The number there is 805-795-3165. Or you can write us at jchristina, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, at TuscanyBayBooks.com, or R. Polinelli, P-A-O-L-I-N-E-L-L-I, at TuscanyBayBooks.com. And we'll be more than happy to give you some information. And also by Out West, which is your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, boots, hats, fashion accessories, home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. National brands include the Scully Leather Company, Rockmount Ranchwear, Dan Post Boots, and American West Handbags, just to name a few. You can shop online at www.scvoutwest.com. Or you can give them a call at 877-340-9378. And if you enter the code, WB100, you get $10 off your initial order. So, and actually, the owners are sitting right here in the studio with me. So isn't that just very cool?
Everything to put under the tree.
I know, huh? That is true. But you're going to be shipping from a different location.
Well, lots of things drop ship right from our vendors. They go right from the vendor to you.
There you go. Okay. And since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service, TFM Truckload, that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they strive to make your full truckload shipping experience unparalleled. Call TFM Truckload today at 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski or any of the fine Target TFM staff. Tell them you heard it here in the Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. And if you are an LTL shipper, getting your freight moved your way, the most expedient way possible, is what you need. One-stop shop, no hassle. Call Target Freight Management today. Their customized traffic movement program is the finest in the industry, bar none. So call at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfreight.com. www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call today. And we're not fooling. You won't be sorry you did. And I have to tell you that last Saturday night, the bookie and I had dinner with the president / owner of Target Freight Management.
Oh,
he was in
great.
Town. And we went to Sutter's Mill in Simi Valley. And we had a very nice dinner. And they were all dressed in baseball clothes because that's what they were doing here. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great dinner and just a great conversation. And he loves what we're doing here with his business, and he's going to stick with us.
That's awesome.
I know.
That's really just wonderful. Thank you.
Mike. And again, thank you so much for the dinner last Saturday. Okay. Well, we have tonight a self-professed interstellar woman of mystery. She is a veteran of more than 20 years in the civilian space program, as well as various military space defense programs. She worked on numerous space shuttle flights and the International Space Station, and counts the training of astronauts on her resume. Her space experience also includes space lab and ISS operations, variable star astrophysics, Martian alien geophysics, radiation physics, and nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons effects. Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
She holds a graduate and undergraduate degree in four sciences, astronomy, physics, chemistry, and mathematics, and she is fluent in several more, including geology and anatomy. In addition, she possesses... That's why the... Okay.
Yeah.
In addition, she possesses a license of ministry and has been a duly sworn certified police officer, plus a National Weather Service certified storm spotter. Oh, my gosh. Boy, do I have some questions for this lady. Okay, she has been just about every place. And we're going to have to stop here, Preet, because, I mean, you know, she's...
We want to talk to her.
She's probably giggling, I think we really want to talk to her now. So let's bring her on board. Will you please welcome to the Writer's Block, Stephanie Osborne. Stephanie, you with us?
I'm here.
Welcome.
Welcome to the madness. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little bit red-faced at the moment, but yeah, I'm doing good.
Well, you know what? You wrote it, so.
Well, no, actually, I didn't. A publicist wrote it.
Who is your publicist?
You had to ask. Her name flew out of my head.
Okay. That's okay. It'll come back to roost later.
With all that space work, it probably went out there anti-gravitational.
We loved this book, so we're excited to have you on tonight. So welcome.
Now, this was the fourth of a series. There is, of course, three in front, and you have two more on the backside.
I have several more on the backside.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And the first,
yes, I just finished actually earlier tonight reviewing the galley proof for book six.
Okay. Oh.
I'm getting ready to start book seven.
And this particular book title out of this series is Tour de Force. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Right.
Well, the series in general is my take on the urban legend of those guys in the dark suits that show up at the UFO encounters and the alien abductions and stuff like that to make the evidence go away.
Okay.
In this particular instance, we follow, through the series, we follow a partnership, the experienced Agent Echo and the less experienced but highly qualified Agent Omega, as Omega learns the ropes. And you find out things like there is a galactic government, there's a galactic civilization.
Right.
And what these guys really are is they are part of the law enforcement arm of that galactic government.
Right.
And so in Tour de Force, you discover that that there is a new race wanting to make first contact, diplomatic contact. And they are from a satellite galaxy of the Milky Way, and so the galactic government is very keen on this, and they want to do a kind of an exchange program, and they want to take one of the top agents, namely Agent Echo, with them, but they're not really going to leave anybody in his place. And Omega is not keen on this. She has a very, very bad feeling about these guys, a sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's kind of like, I really don't think you should go, Echo. And he's like, it's no big deal. This is routine. It's standard procedure.
Right.
She's like, I really don't think you should go, Echo.
Right.
Listen to the woman.
Go ahead.
Boy, that's how this is going to go tonight, too.
Huh? Listen to the woman. Now, we both, of course, read this book, but very briefly, the books that come before it, there are three in the series that come before it, correct? Do we meet them? Are they in all three of those, or do we meet Omega along the way?
No, they're in all the books.
Okay.
Omega and Echo are the two principal characters throughout the series.
And I loved that it stood alone. I could tell that in the books preceding this, there would have been other adventure stories and we would have gotten to know them through, but I didn't feel like I didn't understand what was happening because I hadn't read the other three.
Right.
Good. That was my intent, is that you can read them standalone. I do think they work better if you read them in sequence because it kind of grows.
Right.
Yes.
You know,
each builds, you know, the next book builds on the previous.
For sure. But I think you did a great job on bringing in enough prior information into this particular story where you know what's going on. You get enough clues that you can actually, your brain can take you back and kind of figure it out on your own.
Okay, good.
Without having to read the other three, but I mean, why not read the other three? Because number four was great.
Well, that's what makes me want to kind of go back and meet them,
right.
You know, in the beginning. And once again, I have to say and applaud you for writing a really wonderful woman. And actually, we have a couple of them in this book, but thank you for such a strong, fabulous woman.
Well, thank you. People actually, they kind of look at me and they go, she's a Mary Sue. And I'm like, well, no, not really. But that's just the kind of woman that I know. there are women out there that are not that strong, but I generally don't really make friends with them much.
Well, look at your background.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, somebody can actually say to you, well, it's not rocket science, and you can argue with them.
Yes, you can say, wait a minute.
I mean,
I have been able to do so, yes.
Well, I mean, when you really think about it, and Bobby and I were talking about this earlier before we went on the air, when you really think about it, who is going to argue with you about the science in these interstellar ships that they're flying around? Certainly not me, because I haven't.
You'd be surprised.
I have no idea. I don't.
Be surprised.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were thinking because both Jim and I have a fondness for Westerns, and especially Jim, he writes with authenticity because he knows there will be readers that will, if he's not right on,
pick it apart.
Yeah. And so we assume that in a genre that you write, although we don't know the science and the you know, all of what's involved, many of your readers will, and so we assume you are absolutely right on.
Well, you know, I do my best. This is most of the time I write fairly hard, what's known as hard science fiction, which means that the science, quote unquote, in the books, you know, it's science fiction, but it's an extrapolation of known cutting edge science of the current day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This one is a little bit different. I play a little bit more loose with the science,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, so in that respect, you could maybe call it space opera. But at the same time, I don't go so far afield with it that it's outside, but it becomes fantasy. I'll put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sit down and work out the science behind how the ship works,
mm-hmm.
or how their weapons work, or mm-hmm. whatever, you know. So even though I don't necessarily dump that knowledge into the book, it informs my descriptions of how it operates.
Ah.
So you might see, you know, the beam does this when it shoots out of their gun, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have yellow beams and green beams and orange beams and you got
part
beams.
Part of that is just to enable the reader to keep them straight, too. So, you know, okay, the green beam, that's the bad guy. The purple beam, that's the good guy.
Right, right.
The orange beam, tractor beam,
right.
You know, so, yeah.
Right. Oh, incidentally, if our listeners want to call in and talk to Stephanie, which if you're a science fiction person, you really have to do this, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that is 818-602-4929. I'm blown away. I just, you know, weekly, Bobby and I get books that, you know, it's really not a genre we read, but week after week, we're surprised, we're thrilled, we're just can't wait to talk to the writer because, I mean, you guys are putting out such great stuff.
Well, to me, this was very special for a number of reasons, and one is, you don't tell us, like, really when it's set. You know, it could be way in the future,
right?
But there's a feeling that it's contemporary, and it could be happening right now,
yeah.
and we just don't know about
right.
these intergalactical things that go on,
right? Because Echo wears a black suit,
yeah. Because there's lots of things that are contemporary
right.
to today, and yet we have we have other life forms that are very interesting,
right.
but they exist with human and. The world that you've created is feels very real.
Good.
It really does. Well, it's New York they're in, right?
Yeah. And I do, you know, the funny thing is I've never been to New York, but I do a lot of research. I do a lot of online stuff. I talk to people from there. You know, what does so-and-so look like? Well, where is such-and-such?
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay, satellite view, street view, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So I actually literally stepped through the streets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think all of us guys who write now, it beats the hell out of Encyclopedia Britannica. I mean, the internet is just like instant information.
Well, but you still have to be a little leery, Jim. And we know this from even Western history
right.
when, you know, the Donner Pass,
right.
The guy wrote had never been and they followed
right.
the wrong,
right.
you know, they didn't have GPS and all
right.
that. Then,
and put
you know?
He put maps in his books that were totally bad.
Yeah, he did his research in the New York Library
right.
and didn't have, you know, so we've come a long way. I'd like to say we've come a long way. Now, tell us how you came upon the title for this book.
I kind of pulled it I've been accused of having quite a large vocabulary, but I don't think that's anything that most writers don't have. But I just got to thinking about where, you know, the kind of storyline I had going on there and what Echo wound up having to do once Omega did what she had to do. And I'm trying to say this without throwing in spoilers.
Right.
but I got to thinking, you know, what he did was essentially a tour de force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then it was just kind of like, okay, that's going to be he's going to recognize that's what he's going to have to do to get the job done.
Right.
Okay, I'll throw out this one spoiler to keep her alive if he can.
Right.
Well, and it spoke to me on several levels by titling it
right.
that title.
Right. So
yeah.
So there are multiple levels of meaning there. He actually names the spacecraft that he has to use.
Right.
He renames it the Tour de Force.
And what was its original name?
Yes, it was RD1.
Which stood for?
Yes. Rubber Ducky One. That was so clever.
And that's quite an amazing spacecraft.
It is.
So, is there such a craft out there that you maybe are aware of, or you can't tell us because they'd have to kill you?
well, no, there's nothing out there like that I'm aware of. It was the shape was it was a combination of things. The shape of the craft. I pulled from UFO lore In one respect, there's supposedly a spacecraft dubbed the Aurora, and so there's a little bit of a resemblance to it. But it also, as much as anything, kind of looks like the 1950s, the alien craft from the mm-hmm. 1950s version mm-hmm. of War of the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Except minus the neck and the heat beam and all that.
Right,
crap.
Right.
So that kind of gives you an idea of the shape of the thing. It's an aerodynamic triangle, kind of aerofoil kind of a deal.
Thingy.
For us unscientific.
Has a thingy on there. You know? There's a thingy over there.
Now,
scientific speak.
I kind of understand about black holes and wormholes. Say wormholes fast 5 times. Very challenging.
You can't even say it slow.
I can't even say it slow. I have to picture the word in my mind in order to say it correctly. And I'm sure that to readers of this genre, these are very commonplace kinds of things. But to those of us kind of unfamiliar, there's a episode with a wormhole that's quite...
exciting.
Yeah. Tell us, have any of our astronauts ever had to go through a black hole or a wormhole?
Oh, no. You don't, there's not even anywhere close. This is where my astrophysics background came into play. That's not something that we have the capability of even coming close to right now.
Right.
So, we don't have anything that would hold up.
Right.
Structurally to the gravitational forces involved.
Right.
But none of them are close to us. They're many hundreds of light years away, even the closest ones. But most of what I threw in there in that regard is pretty much that's pretty much physics as the astrophysics of the situation as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a multi-million solar mass black hole, gigantic black hole at the core of the galaxy, and I referenced that because Echo has to avoid it in crossing the galaxy.
Right.
And the concept of the rotating black hole with the event horizon, the ergosphere, etc. That's pretty much the current state of science as we understand black holes currently.
Given that we can't
get to one to look at it.
Did I understand it correctly in that Echo created the wormhole?
Yes.
Okay. That was so he could shoot through it? That's so he could shoot through it and pick up time, space, energy?
Right.
Okay.
He's literally creating a shortcut in space-time.
Right.
Because his destination... He has to get across the galaxy, pick up a renowned physician, and bring him back.
Doron.
Doron.
Right, Doron.
And he has to get him back in a certain amount of time, or Omega ain't gonna make it.
Right.
And so, even as fast, he's got the fastest spacecraft they've got, which is a brand new little experimental vessel that R&D produced, but even it's not fast enough. He'd be cutting it so close that chances are that he wouldn't get back in time, especially if anything happened to delay him.
Right.
So he's looking for anything that he can do to speed things up. So he literally creates a wormhole in the fabric of space-time to create a shortcut between where he is and where he needs to get to.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
You totally lost me.
Well, and then there was another, and I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but there's a moment where he suddenly realizes he's lost track of time. That was very interesting, and he has to reset time.
Well, he has to reset his ship's internal clock.
Right.
The ship took a hit from hard radiation, and it created a cascade effect in the ship's main computer, and it basically the clock locked up, and the clock was the controlling mechanism. If you want to travel if you're traveling at this speed and you want to go this distance, then you know that you have to travel at this speed for this length of time and then drop out of your Alcubierre warp, and then you should be where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if the clock is stuck, if the clock is not incrementing, then your computer doesn't know when to drop you out of the space warp into normal space.
Right, and you could shoot right past your target.
Yeah, exactly. or be lost, or be going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of controlled everything, like his direction and where he was, like looking for the North Star. He's not looking for the North Star, but it's that, like, I don't know where I am even. You know, I've lost all sense of everything.
Exactly. it's where am I? What time is it? And how much further have I got to go?
And when do we eat?
Right.
Well, it was a great read, and I look forward to catching up with the first books, and then really looking forward to what happens to Echo and Omega,
and this
group going forward. I know we probably want to talk a little bit about process.
I think we do.
You want to talk about?
Let me. When we talked the other night, you said that book five was out in January. Is that what you said?
Yeah, book five is coming out in January.
Right. And you just did galleys for six.
You want me to just run through the list of books in the series?
Yeah.
Actually, I think I can do that for you.
Oh.
Let's see if I have that in front of me.
How many books, Jim? Okay. Is it 2,000 books?
It is Alpha and Omega.
There you go.
Yes.
A small, medium, at large.
Yes.
A very unconventional Christmas.
Yes.
And, of course, Tour de Force.
Correct.
And then what's coming?
And there's 26 others.
I know, and counting.
the fifth book is entitled Trojan Horse.
Okay.
The sixth book is entitled Texas Rangers, and that's the one I just finished reviewing the galley proof on today.
Okay.
And then I'm getting ready to start book seven, which the working title for that one right now, I'm not real happy with it. I'll probably wind up changing it or at least modifying it. But right now the working title is Stalkers in the Night.
Okay. So when you...
There's at least going to be about 8 or 9 books in the series.
In the series.
Yeah.
So when you started writing these series... I obviously you're a space person and a mathematician and let's see, a lay minister, a cop. What else did I miss?
She's got a little bit of everything.
you specifically had a storyline in your mind that you wanted to lay out, and the story obviously was about Omega when she first became Omega. I'm going to guess. I have not read the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you kind of came up with that storyline. Now, we know it's from the Men in Black. So we've gone past that.
It's my take on that.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my first book was entitled Burnout. And it was about, and this connects, so just bear with me. My first book was entitled Burnout, and it was about a space shuttle disaster, and the discovery that it was not an accident, and the ensuing investigation and cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used tons of the UFO lore in that, including the concept of Men in Black and the Aurora spacecraft and, you know, Area 51 and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So... I thought, you know, and I wrote it from the standpoint of the two main characters. One of them is a NASA, retired NASA flight director, and the other is a professional astronomer. And so it's written from their point of view as they're trying to figure out what the heck happened to their friends who were on board the shuttle. So I thought, wouldn't it be kind of interesting to turn that concept on its ear and write the same sort of story from the standpoint of the guys who are trying to make all the evidence go away.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I went with it.
Gotcha.
So, and so I thought, well, okay, then I have to have a NASA person. I have to bring a NASA person in as an agent.
Which would be Omega.
So, which becomes Omega, right. Her original, her birth name is Dr. Megan McAllister.
Right.
And so it is, and from that point, it became the story of a NASA astronaut discovering that not only is the dream alive, it's real and it's there, and I'm living it right now.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And so that's kind of the story of it. And then she discovers that not everything is as it appears to be.
Right.
And that includes her own self.
Ah. Well, let me stop you there before you go any further. Let me get, we have a commercial we have to do, and then we'll be right back to you. So just hang tough. Don't go away. I'm going to put you back on hold, and we'll be back to you just in just a hop and skip and a jump.
A light year.
Or a light year, whatever. So don't go away. Imagine deep blue skies, majestic mountains, and acres of lush green orange trees in a tranquil country setting. Sound like a perfect vacation spot? It is, for your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you are going away for a one-night or two-night getaway or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. When your dog returns home, you'll have to ask, whose vacation was better? Guess whose? The dogs. Check out their website at alldogsrule.com or give them a call at 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you. And we thank Russ Avison. That is his business. And, of course, he won't be here this month. But next month he'll be here. Okay. Let's get back. This is a fascinating show. So, Stephanie, you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Do you write in the morning? Do you write in the afternoon? Do you write in the evenings? When is it that you're most comfortable sitting down and?
I am a night owl.
Are you really?
I am. I have lost track of time. Usually, what I try to do is I try to hit bed around 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, if I get really rolling, I've lost track of time, and the next thing I know, the sun has come up and my husband is getting up to get ready for work.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, crud. Yeah.
Bobby
yeah,
Jean's
really.
Husband and I are looking at her, but we know someone just like
Stephanie,
you.
Stephanie, I'm exactly the same way.
I get emails from Bobby Jean at 3 o'clock in the morning. Of course, I'm up too. So.
But you're just getting up.
Yeah. My subject matter experts are used to looking at the time tags on my emails and going, you were up when?
Yeah.
And you're asking this?
Time has no meaning whatsoever.
Do you like writing dialogue?
I love writing dialogue. Yes.
It shows.
I tend to write a lot of banter between my main characters.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah, you can tell. You can always tell writers that really love the dialogue and really kind of have to force their way through it. You love it. You can tell.
Well, and you really like these characters.
And you really do.
And I like that you do let us into what they're thinking. You're not just, showing us what's going on, but we get into their heads a little bit, and we know sometimes there's a little miscommunication going on. It's so fun to read. She's thinking this, and he's thinking that, and you just want to shake them and go, oh, come on, you guys, you know?
Well, not only that, but I have to tell you, I got really frustrated with these two people because, I mean, does he love me? I don't know, you know?
No.
Does he love me as much as I love him?
It's a work relationship.
Probably not. You know?
It's a work It's a workplace. It's a complicated.
And everybody wants them to get together, and they don't. They don't even.
Well,
get that.
They're trying to. You know, it's a workplace, and they have a special work. I mean, it's a. You've given us a really complex, and yet,
right.
It feels like a normal. Like people deal with this kind of a thing all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a strange situation because you're right. It is a workplace environment, but at the same time, because the rest of Earth doesn't even know they exist,
right?
They really don't have any other. They can't make relationships outside of the organization,
right?
Or if they do, they have to bring them into the organization.
So it's catch as catch can, or steal one and bring them in.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. And so the situation that they're in is, now this is where you actually, in order to understand why there is that going on, you have to have read some of the previous books,
mm-hmm.
so that you understand the problems mm-hmm. that have developed.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I can get that, yeah.
Okay, so
Omega has real legitimate reasons why she's concerned. And at the same time, Echo is going, well, you know, she's not giving me any signals back. So is she not interested? If I press this, is it going to wind up breaking up the premier partnership in the agency?
Right.
We can't afford that.
Yeah, they're the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's more complex than it appears on the surface.
Well, and it makes for interesting reading because they don't really flirt with one another, but we kind of want to know.
Well, they do in their
where's it going to go? You know, sometimes on TV shows you have a similar relationship, and then eventually, you know, 6 years into the series, the couple gets married, the characters get married or something, and then it's almost like, where do they go from there? It's almost, we don't have that little tension anymore, and
right.
It makes
the series.
Yeah, it makes sense in their lives, in the lives of the characters, that this would happen to them, but
it's the death knell for a series, usually.
Yeah, yeah, so I can understand that why you're writing them, but they're charming. We like them very much.
Okay, Stephanie, here's the big question for you.
Yes.
All right, we have a character in here. He's a Draconian, or nun, Draconian, I guess.
Draconian, yes.
His name is Polji Ntiti. Is that how it's pronounced?
I pronounce it Polji Ntiti.
Okay.
Okay.
I was close.
You're close, yeah.
So it's a hard G instead of a soft G.
Okay.
Right.
Right. And you have a character in here with a name of ZZ. RP.
Yeah, how do you pronounce him?
Which is why one of the human characters refers to him as Hiccup.
Well,
he's
Omega's kind of like her mentor, right?
Sort of, kind of,
yeah.
He does his best, since humans are not supposed to be able to do what she has been made to be able to do.
Right. Well, we're not going to go there, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big giveaway. Okay,
yeah.
This is the question for you.
All right.
Have you ever had writer's block?
Or believe in it. Or don't believe in
it. Oh, yes. Oh, heck yes. That hits every once in a while, and it's usually when it hits, it means that the idea isn't fully formed yet.
That's something we haven't heard. I mean, we've done this show now for 2.5 years, and we get a different answer.
We love to hear the response because everyone is different,
right?
And for our listeners that maybe are writers or you know, we hope that it gives them that's like me.
That's true.
So that was a new response. We hadn't heard that before. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Usually for me, it means that the idea hasn't fully formed yet, and that I need to stop writing and start brainstorming.
Okay.
And I may get up and pace around the house. I may go grab my husband and sit him down and say, hey, talk to me about this. I may call somebody. I have even been known to go outside at 2 a.m. and pace up and down the sidewalk talking to myself. And I'm probably, the neighbors think I'm nuts.
Well,
but that's okay, because I work it out.
You're out of this world.
Well, you know, I mean, I've seen worse. So,
well, yeah, I mean, as long as I'm making sense.
I say that too, but I never do.
So when you come back to writing, do you go ahead and pick up where you left off, or do you work on another project, or do you not write again until you feel that you've gotten past it, or what's your next step?
Well, I don't write sequentially, for starters.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. I write the way a movie is filmed.
Okay.
I write out of sequence. And it's okay, today I had the idea to do this. Let me get this on paper, or rather into a file, before I forget it. And, you know, I may wind up with you know, four or five right. blocks.
Right, right. Let me grab this call real quick.
That I did go back and link up.
Let me grab this call real quick, Stefan. Hang on.
Hold on.
Henry, are you there? No.
Earth to Henry.
Henry. Henry.
It's Cowboys and Aliens.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Oh.
Now, Stephanie, do we still have you too, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Henry, meet Stephanie Osborne.
Yes.
Stephanie, meet Henry Park.
Hi, Stephanie.
Henry.
Hi, I've been enjoying the discussion very much.
Good.
And,
I'm glad.
I am sorry about not calling in last week. There was a communication problem. No communication between my brain and my dialing finger.
We thought it was us, Henry.
Inability to tell time.
We wondered what you were drinking in that writer's block mug.
There you go.
I was afraid I'd have to send it back.
No. I don't want it back now. Well, Stephanie, in the time we have left with you, can you tell us, our listeners, and there are quite a few of them, where they can get your books and email addresses, Facebook, webpage, whatever you got going?
All those great places.
Sure. You can find my books on Amazon. You can find them at Barnes & Noble. You can probably find them through Books A Million. Most of the major chains should have them.
Okay.
They're available in print and ebook.
Okay.
You can find me on Facebook at Novelist Stephanie Osborne. You can find me on Twitter at Writer Steph. You can find me on my website, which is stephanie-osborne.com. You can find me on Instagram as the Interstellar Woman of Mystery.
I love that.
I do too.
And Stephanie Osborne is spelled Stephanie.
And there's no E on Osborne.
Right, and no E on Osborne.
Yeah, it's Osborn.
That's
two letters as you can stick in there.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, look, Stephanie, give Jerry another email and tell her you want to get booked next year. And I want you back on when you get probably book five and six, and a little bit further along on seven, so we can continue this conversation Echo and Omega.
We're already booked up through April or whatever.
We are.
So by the time there's an open spot,
right.
She'd be ready to go.
Right. So that email address is guest, as in guest house, guestwb@yahoo.com.
Okay.
If you would please do that, we'd love to have you back on the show.
All right. I'd love to be back.
Well, we would love to have you. And thank you so much for spending. I'm sorry we had to cut you off a little bit early, but we have Henry here. And he didn't call in last week. So I got an email from him today that said, I will be calling in regardless.
Stephanie, may you have a wonderful out of this world holiday season.
For sure. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. And back at you both.
Well, thank you. And have a good evening.
Roger
we'll talk
that.
Soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Henry.
Hey, Henry.
Hey there. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good.
Out of this world.
She was wonderful.
That's right. Space,
oh, man.
The final frontier.
Oh, yeah. My God. You actually, Henry, you really, I know it's not a Western, but you really have to read it.
Well, it's kind of like a Western.
Well, it kind of is.
I mean, it's, you know.
Shoot 'em up, bang bangs.
But, yeah.
You know,
partners and good guys and bad guys.
Stun guns.
And different kind of frontier, different kinds of, you know, peaks and valleys to get through.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Western in a different universe.
There you go. So what have you got wonderful that was on Henry's Roundup this week, last week, week before?
Well, let's see. Well, now the number one news item of today is somebody's birthday. Your friend and mine, the wonderful actor and raconteur Clu Gulager, turns 89 today.
Oh, does he really?
Wow, 89.
He does indeed. Yeah, and you know, loved him as Sheriff Riker and
right.
Virginia and Billy the Kid and the Tall Man, all of the and all those great horror movies.
Right.
And the bad ones too.
Oh, well, most of them were.
You know,
sorry, Clu.
A week ago, well, he knows.
I know he does.
But just a week ago, I was at the American Film Market in Santa Monica, where hundreds of independent producers and distributors and filmmakers from all over the world meet to do business, and I was thrilled to track down more than a dozen new Westerns and Western projects.
Really?
And so, yeah. And now, most are American, but not all. Uh-huh. One starring Emil Hirsch rolled camera last week in Luxembourg.
Luxembourg.
Probably the first Western shot there, yeah.
I'm absolutely certain.
I think we sent some things to a customer there.
We might have. Or you might have.
It was Emil.
Luxembourg,
well,
huh?
This past weekend at the Autry, they had their wonderful annual American Indian Arts Marketplace, mm-hmm. which is one of the biggest gatherings of the finest Indian artists in the world. Have you ever gone?
I think I walked through it one day on my way to the museum. Yeah.
Very, very often. Been involved with it very often. Yeah.
I thought you must have been, Bobby.
Yeah.
You know, there are more than 200 artists, over 40 different tribal affiliations. I'll have lots of details in the roundup. And you always meet interesting people there. I've met Saginaw Grant, Michael Horse, who was Tonto in The Legend of the Lone Ranger.
Michael Horse is always
this
there.
This time I ran... Oh, I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Michael Horse is just always there. So fun to see him there.
Right. Well, this time I ran into Zion McLarnon, who is brilliant in The Sun. He plays Toshaway, the Indian who was raising Jacob Laughlin as the young Eli McCullough. And when I told him that I thought it was the best role I'd ever seen him do, he grinned and said, "Wait until you see what I do in season 2 of Westworld." There's nothing to look forward to. Speaking of The Sun, anyone who is near Austin, they're shooting season 2 and the producers are looking for extras. The cast
Eric Kisner.
The current roundup.
Eric Kisner.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
was talking about it last week.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think he got a gig on there. He's cavalry or something.
Oh, yeah, because he said...
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. A Civil War uniform at the end of
yeah,
the...
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Or was that at Melody Ranch? Oh, anyway.
No. Okay. Oh, maybe. Well. I know he was
filming... Anyway.
Yeah, whatever. We don't know, Henry. We're just grabbing at straws.
that's my specialty.
Well, or drinking through them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great stuff happening Thanksgiving week. I didn't even know I got HDNet on DirecTV, but I'm glad I do because guess who is hosting 16 Westerns on HDNet all Thanksgiving week?
Who?
Have you heard?
No.
Bruce Dern.
Oh,
I think I heard something about that.
Wow.
Yeah. They filmed all of his introductions at the Autry, and they're showing Posse with him and Kirk Douglas. And just a huge mix of Chato's Land, Dula Diablo, the Three Magnificent Seven sequels, all just a jambalaya of delights.
A jambalaya of delights.
Jambalaya.
We're going to quote you on that one, Henry.
Oh, please
I expect
do.
To see that in print on the Western Roundup.
I like that.
I've actually got that in the tattoo.
Ah!
but it's not on me. Saturday, 1:30 at the Autry. A lot of Autry stuff happening. They're showing James Dean and Liz Taylor in Giant.
Oh, wow.
Great movie.
Wow. On the big screen.
Saturday and Sunday, in Simi Valley, there's the second annual Tumbleweed Township Festival, which is a Wild West living history recreation
Where's
thing
that?
Run by folks who also do Renaissance fairs.
Where is it? Do you know?
It's actually, I can pull up the address, just a second. It's at 3855 Alamo Street.
That's Veterans Park.
Veterans Park?
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah.
That's
this
I live
weekend?
Right across the street from there.
Did you say it's both days this weekend,
really?
Henry? Oh, no, Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanksgiving weekend.
You said Thanksgiving weekend.
No, this is this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay, this coming, really?
Yes.
Cool. So much for packing one of those days.
I know, huh?
The 18th and 19th, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool.
Right. And I should mention, because I live for self-promotion, that the current roundup features my interview with Chris Christopherson.
Oh, cool.
And, Yeah, it was great fun to talk to you. And the new True West is out with my article on the kinder, gentler side of Sam Peckinpah.
Oh.
And yes, there was one. And got to talk with Marriott Hartley, L.Q. Jones, Max Evans, James Drury about Ride to High Country and Ballad of Cable Hogue.
I love that movie.
Yeah, now, coming up at the Audrey this Tuesday, Rob Word will host another one of his Word on Western events. And this time, celebrating arguably the greatest of all Western TV series, Gunsmoke.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. And among his many guests will be Bruce Boxleitner, Charles Dierkop, Jacqueline Scott, director Jerry James, and the man who guested most often on Gunsmoke, more than any other. Do you know who that would be?
I'm thinking here.
Who guested?
Guested on Gunsmoke more than any other. I know, because so many people were recurring guest stars. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Who?
Morgan Woodward.
Woodward. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
19 episodes, 17 characters, and Matt Dillon killed all of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hey. He was the villain in the first film I ever wrote, Speed Trap.
Wow.
And Joe Don Baker got to kill him in that one.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Interesting.
And lots of stuff coming up next Wednesday, November 22nd. A new 6-part Western, Godless, starts on Netflix. And Morgan Creek, the folks who back in 88 brought you Young Guns, is looking to reboot it as a series with Lionsgate. And if you go on IMDb, they've announced 48 episode titles already.
Wow.
Really? They'll probably make three before it gets canceled.
That could be. Maybe they'll just combine all those titles into a script.
There you go.
Anyhow, you can find all this, video and book reviews, 3 fine new independent Westerns coming out, and you can read all about this and more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Thanks,
hey,
Henry!
Henry, did you know Kris Kristofferson is performing in Santa Clarita in January?
No.
Yeah.
If we can remember to go.
Yeah, he's performing at a new venue that's opening, should be opening, I think, this month, if it hasn't opened already, the Canyon Club. That might not be quite the right name. It's actually at the Valencia Town Center at the mall there, and they are going to be hosting tons of performances, and he's scheduled for January.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'll have to check their schedule.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I scooped you.
She did.
You sure did.
Okay, pal, we'll talk to you on the 30th.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
I look forward to it. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
For that drumstick.
Talk to you soon, Henry. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Henry Park. Next week, of course, is Thanksgiving Thursday. We will be dark. We're going to be replaying a show. We don't know which one yet.
We're going to pick it. It'll be great.
We have yet to pick it, but it'll be a good one. In the following week, we have our guest is Robert Sawyer. He has written a book called Quantum Night. It's a fast-paced thriller, richly informed by modern science. You'd probably get along really well.
I'm starting it tonight because it's a big book.
It's a big book.
It's a big book.
And it's small print.
Glad to have 2 weeks to read it.
There you go. And other than that, we got nothing going on for the rest of this week, as far as I know, except you guys are going to go buy a house in Albuquerque now.
Well, Jim is.
Jim is.
He's going to do FaceTime walkthroughs so I can look at it with him.
That would be a good idea because, you know, Jerry would never trust me to do it either.
Oh, no.
Not by myself.
He'll do great, but FaceTime, we don't do FaceTime, but it makes sense for this.
Well, there you go. And with that being said, this is another wrap for the Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio. We will be back next Thursday, as we're dark, the following Thursday, which is November 30th, and we'll bring you Robert Sawyer. And until then, this is Jim Christina and Bobby Jean Bell signing off for tonight. We are out of here.